Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Greetings, this is John Richter, creator and showrunner for Transmissions from Colony One. You know, as fulfilling as it is to make this show, it can be a bit daunting to handle this production by myself, hence the 7-year hiatus between seasons 3 and 4. And as a way to help keep the lights on in Colony One, we have a Patreon. Head to patreon.com/TFCOMarsPod to subscribe today. Now, what's in it for you? The TFCO Patreon has two tiers. The $2 Mechty Flight Control staff level gives you access to exclusive extra content, including season outtakes, concept art, a personalized thank you in the show notes and episode for myself, and more. If that sounds good to you, but you still want the full TFCO experience, become a Mechty crew member for only $5 a month. You get everything at the $2 level, but you also get access to original music from the show, a special recap episode of the season 4 episode you just listened to in both audio and video form, future production diaries, and more. Also, no matter which tier you sign up at, every couple of months I will provide a poll to see what kind of additional content you would like to receive on the TFCO Patreon. We only move forward together, so I'd love to hear from all of you. Again, that's patreon.com/TFCOMarsPod to subscribe at the $2 or $5 level, and I'll see you on Mars. Hello, this is John Richter, creator and showrunner for Transmissions from Colony One. With season 4 just around the corner, and since it's been 7+ years since season 3, I thought I'd do you guys a favor by providing a bit of a recap for those first 3 seasons, because let's face it, there's a lot of stuff that went down in those 3 seasons, so this'll help. Hopefully. Let's get into it. November 2036. President-elect Richard Thorpe announces his New Dawn Initiative, a new national push for permanent, sustainable settlements on other planets/moons. That initiative would eventually transform into MECTI, which means Mars Exploration, Colonization, Terraformation Initiative. Jump ahead 20 years, and on December 31st, 2056, the first manned mission to Mars, MECTI-1, is attempting to land on Mars with a one-way trip. As they finish their pre-launch prep, there's a very subtle, mysterious audio blip received from Earth. Since they're a little preoccupied, though, this blip is more or less ignored. The landing sequence is going off mostly without a hitch. Their craft is an MMLHV, meaning Mars Manned Landing and Habitation Vehicle, with the crew-assigned moniker, the WASP. As they plummet through the paper-thin skies of Mars, a very garbled, staticky message is received from Space Station Hercules in Earth orbit. Kaya Osen, the mission's communications specialist, hears the message and works to find out what it means. She attempts to send a message back to Earth, but starts having strange results. The MECTI-1 crew lands safely on the surface and everyone is jubilant. Well, almost everyone. Kaya calls several frequencies with no response. She then reveals to the crew that for reasons unknown, MECTI-1 has lost all contact with Earth. While waiting for Earth to re-establish communication, MECTI had planned for a satellite named Perception 2 to automatically launch into deep Earth orbit if communications with Earth are severed for an extended amount of time. Meanwhile, MECTI-1 decides to continue with operations, preparing for the first EVA on the surface. Commander Sam Flynn will be taking the first steps on the ground, followed by pilot Paul Kirsch and his wife, co-pilot Beth Anders. Sam takes his first steps on Mars, giving a very hokey speech, while Paul and Beth can't help but poke fun. While the 3 crew members conduct a visual inspection of the ship and work toward their first objectives, A big Martian storm unexpectedly appears and sweeps Sam away until he's found and brought back inside with a broken arm. While Sam recovers, the rest of Mechti-1 conducts their missions, retrieving supply capsules that Mechti had dropped for the first four missions over the past 10 years. While pondering the strange garbled message Kaya received during landing, Sam directs Kaya to aim one of the comms dishes to seemingly random coordinates in the direction of the dwarf planet Ceres in the asteroid belt. After Kaya moves the comms dish, Sam receives a PEM, an automatic message meant only for mission commanders, hence why it was sent directly to his quarters, from a hidden device. These PEMs indicate some kind of an emergency event on a celestial body. This PEM simply reads, PEM23-238429. Sam is at a loss, but makes the decision to hide this information from his crew until he can figure out the full picture of what's going on. Andrew Wood, Mechti-1 chief engineer in the oil to Sam's water, starts to echo many of the crew's concerns about several days passing without any word from Earth. Sam tries to reassure Andrew that whatever's going on with Earth, it will get resolved, and that their priority needs to be Mars now. Also, it must be said that Sam does not have a good poker face, with several members of the crew noticing that Sam's acting a bit odd and secretive, and is up to something strange that he's not sharing, like telling Kaya to point their comms dish towards the asteroid belt instead of Earth. Meanwhile, members of the EVA team notice an overly bright star in the night sky. Resident astronomy nerd Walter Langston correctly guesses that this is the star, Eta Carina. Walter and the others meet in the ship's observatory, where they discover that Eta Carina, this star over 7,500 light-years away, has collapsed into a massive supernova. Paul moves the telescope to Earth. Expecting to see the bright blue marble we all know and love, they find a dark, greenish cloud-covered planet with some strange bluish glow emitting from the southern hemisphere. While three of the crew are stranded miles away with a broken-down rover that they work on fixing, Sam investigates his PEM issue, having crewmate Elena Torres help him identify the 238429 part of his message, which is the star ID number of none other than Eta Carina. The team with the rover successfully fix their ride and are hightailing it back to the WASP before a megastorm hits, when Sam shares some Martian-brewed coffee with Walter. Sam picks Walter's brain about Eta Carina, finding out that a star collapsing into a supernova like Eta Carina could eject a gamma ray burst at whatever is even with its pole, virtually extincting anything in its path. Kaya approaches Sam, demanding answers for his weird behavior. Sam complies and calls for a crew meeting. Sam addresses his crew, revealing the existence of the PEM he received and his process of decoding it. He reveals Earth was hit by a gamma ray burst from Eta Carina. Remember that inconspicuous, ignored sound in Episode 1? That was the sound of the GRB hitting Earth. Despair breaks out. Sam tries to fight for any last semblance of morale when he accidentally lets slip that the mission of Mechti is more important than it ever was meant to be, quote, at this stage. When the crew tries to figure out what Sam meant by that comment, the WASP is hit by some kind of massive tremor. Commence flashback, where we hear the extinction of life on Earth, a montage of people around the world and on Space Station Hercules in Earth orbit experiencing the 1 to 2 seconds of GRB exposure and their immediate death. Season 1 ends in a space station with failing power after being struck by the gamma ray burst, ordering Mechti-2 Commander Tim Conrad to launch away immediately. And that should about do it for the recap of Season 1. Tune in next week for a recap of Transmissions from Colony 1, Season 2. Till next time.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.